next to the story from Maura Foley, who is another Chicago improviser. Also a really sharp writer. We're actually co-authoring a paper on the sociology of the X-Men, which is pretty rad. So Maura, I think, well, let me start with this. My friend Chris Crotwell once said on Facebook, I wish everyone was your stories open all the time. This is one of the most emotionally bald stories that I think we've had at the show. It's the only one I can think of where someone actually cries during it. And this is Maura's only story. She just knocked it out of the park. I really appreciate that honesty. And what's more, I've spent a lot of time in hospitals with loved ones. I'm kind of doing so now. It's not fun. I know where she's coming from, and I mean, bless her for telling this story. I love it. Maura Foley.
So my story is about how things smell. Homes have smells. Their own smells. My home has the best smell. My house, and by my, I mean my parents' house, smells like mildly damp, freshly cleaned laundry, old books, and grass. My father says my mother has a nose like a bloodhound. It caused me a lot of anxiety as a teenager. I was always concerned she'd sniff out whatever indiscretion, alcohol, drug, or boy-related, on my person the minute I got home. I swear she smelled my lack of virginity the moment it flew the coop. but I admire her nose. My first distinct memory of my house in Minnesota is watching my mother breathe deeply over a bowl of freshly made applesauce, testing to ensure that the mixture had the correct amount of cinnamon. Once, I spilled orange juice on the Berber carpet of our basement in Kansas City, the corner furthest from the stairwell, and my mother smelled it before she reached the bottom step. She smelled the mold growing in our Philadelphia house foundation before the building inspector found it. Someday I'm going to write a TV cop drama about her and call it The Nasalist. When we moved to Madison, my mother could smell something coming from the heating ducts, something no one else could smell. At first we made jokes like, "Mom, maybe you're having a stroke." Then one night I was laying in her bed with her while she tip-tapped away at her computer and I smelled it. The heating and air conditioning man came and he cleaned the ducts a couple times. But I was still able to smell it. Me and my mom were the only ones. I don't remember how the smell went away, but the one thing I do remember is I was incredibly proud because I realized I had my mother's nose. There are some things that people don't know have a smell. Heparin has a smell. Heparin is a mild blood thinner nurses use to clean out IV lines. We still have prepackaged sterile syringes of it lurking in junk drawers and wicker baskets of Band-Aids in our house. Remnants of my dad's chemotherapy and the twice-daily PICC line flushes. Heparin smells like hospital. It's one of the many odors in the sadness bouquet known as hospital smell. Everyone knows that smell. And if you've ever spent time in a hospital, you know it's very dominating. It is so pungent, it takes away your smell and replaces it with itself. During my dad's allopathic stem cell transplant, I hadn't visited for several days because sorority recruitment was going on. In a fit of frustration and cunning, I had forced myself to cry during a stupid bickering meeting about who would interview who during preference round. A sympathetic sister gave me a ride to the hospital to see my dad. You know something is really stupid bullshit when you'd rather be at a hospital. My mother had warned me that my dad wasn't conscious enough to recognize some people. And when I saw him, he did not recognize me. During the night, I'd rise from the inflatable mattress the nurses had set up on the floor of his room and lead my barely conscious father to the bathroom, or force him to suck on the tube he needed to clean the sloughing skin and mucus from the inside of his mouth every half an hour. I would hug him, and that was the worst part. He didn't smell like my dad. He smelled like sick and phlegm and heparin and death. And I cried and cried and cried, and this time I wasn't faking it. Like the sissy child I am, I'm still getting over feeling that helpless from that smell. I thought I was done and that it was over and that I was okay. But work stress had started to make it worse, and I hadn't been home since Christmas. I was working 70 hours a week, driven by a need to pay my dues. Fuck that phrase, by the way. My cubicle smelled like glossy copy paper and stale Dunkin' Donuts coffee. My dad knew something was wrong, and in an effort to cheer me up, he came to visit. When he left, I went to strip the sheets off my bed, the bed that he had slept in while visiting, and I caught a whiff of my house's smell, the smell he carried with him from Madison, the smell the hospital had stolen from him. So I wrapped myself in the 600 thread count Martha Stewart sheets I'd bought myself with my first big girl paycheck. I inhaled his smell and cried. I was 12 again, huffing the smell of a towel I'd stored deep in my duffel bag at sleepaway camp when homesickness was too much. All I wanted to do was go home. One prescription for Lexapro, six $200 therapist appointments, and one new job offer later. I'm doing much better. I had a few days off in between my last job, so I met my parents in Milwaukee for the day. They got lost trying to find me in Milwaukee's Third Ward, the place that I'd walked to when they inevitably ran late. They found me roaming the streets and honked the horn, and I heard a familiar, "Oh, hi!" of my mom's voice. I opened the car door and hugged her, and there it was, that smell, on her denim jacket. This time I didn't cry, I just smiled. I got in the back seat, inhaled that smell again, and said, "Oh my God, am I glad to see ya."